quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Skolmas.
And I'm Beerless.
And today, boy, we just got a chock load full of half-assed topics to talk about. But first, hi, Beerless. How's it going?
Hi. It's going great. I had to restart my No Man's Sky. Had to, well, basically start over because I really fucked up the freighter system.
Wasn't
worth trying to fix it. It would have cost way too much, so it's easier just to restart.
Well, are you still having fun anyway?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm almost to the same point I was after 80 hours of playing in about 25. So
that's pretty good.
I'm definitely catching up quick because, well, at least now I know what I'm doing. So, well, at least I have an idea of what I'm doing.
Well, at least there's that.
By the way, I'm still having fun.
Oh, literally nothing new is going on in my life.
Well,
just same old, same old.
Cool.
I would really like an ice cream, specifically a peanut butter parfait from Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get one. Nope. It is my innate goal right now is to, at some point, get a fucking ice cream treat on my weekend. And if I get that, my life will be complete. I will be a happy camper. But no, my diabetic ass isn't allowed one.
You're not.
It's not fair.
Eh, I can live without it.
Yeah, that's you. Me? I just want one cheat day a month. One cheat day. I just want to have one burger, fries, and a peanut butter parfait. And I'm told by my wife, who's sweet and loving, that, hey, sure, we can have a burger and fries. Yeah. And I'm like, it kind of misses the point without the treat. Because, well, you don't need it. And you're going to get sick. Anyway, I'll stop throwing a tantrum now and we can actually talk about something half-assed.
Sure.
Cool.
The main topic.
So, Beerless.
Yes.
You heard about the new book coming in May from Wizards of the Coast?
Oh, yeah. Definitely heard about it.
I've got to say I'm a little shocked. Not that there's a game or a supplement coming in May. That was almost expected. But I kind of thought they would have gone with a different book than this. Just the timing seems weird.
Well, thematically, yes, they should have waited until October. But they've got a lot of investors who are absolutely losing their minds right now. So they're going to crank out as much as they can.
Well, sure.
Keep them happy.
And I have no problem with that. Just with Dragonlance, the novels, the first novel start apparently coming out in June or July.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they probably will have a book coming out in July, because it looks like they're doing an every 2 month schedule so far. They're doing March, then May. That would tell me July most likely for the next book. So could a Dragonlance supplement hit at the same time? Maybe.
Possibly.
Who knows? But I would have thought they would have dropped something else in May, Dragonlance in July, and then in September, maybe late September, they would drop Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the book that absolutely should have come out for Halloween is in May. So I guess it's Halloween in May. Not that I'm really complaining about that. I mean, I love me some Halloween, but it almost feels like they're dropping a winter-themed setting, like a Rime of the Frostmaiden in late spring, when the weather's all warm and everything. Let's do a frozen adventure. Why? I mean, at least they dropped that last year in September when the weather was starting to turn bad. And so, okay, I could kind of buy it. Not that things have to match the seasons, but...
No, but it's nice if you can have, you know, a thematic kind of release. Ah.
What it tells me is that Wizards of the Coast needed a quick answer. The game is growing by leaps and bounds, which is strange because they already had over 50% of the market share. And now, the last time I saw, they were at 71% of the market share for the last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
When they released one book, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. I opened it, I flipped it through. Yeah, it looks interesting, but I have only read it once. Most flipped through it, but whatever. Apparently a lot of people bought the book. Cool.
They did.
But what's really driving a lot of D&D sales is the third-party stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of third-party stuff, not just Kobold Press and established creators like them. There's a bunch of stuff coming up on Kickstarter that is just ridiculously good. Settings and source books and all kinds of nifty stuff that just add to the game. It's all unofficial.
Well, there's like Grim Hollow and there's Humblewood and you went and picked up
Dark Matter?
It's Pug something and...
Pugmire and Monarchies of Mao are separate games, though.
Monarchies of Mao, yeah.
I mean,
they're still 5th edition based.
Right. But, yeah, they're different enough to be kind of separate. But what I think really drove Van Richten's Guide being pushed out when it was is Grim Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, it's popular. They just kickstarted the player's guide for Grim Hollow. And, you know, the original book sold like hotcakes. The player's guide sold even better from what I could tell. And they're going to be pumping out stuff to support Grim Hollow as a horror fantasy setting for 5th edition. And by they, I mean the company that's behind it. Obviously, it's all third party. But this is Van Richten's Guide is basically Wizards of the Coast saying, oh, yeah, you like yourself some ghouls and ghosts and scary stuff in your fantasy? Oh, yeah, okay. Here's some official rules. It doesn't exactly cut off Grim Hollow by the knees. It doesn't completely make it useless.
But it helps, you know, soak up some of the money that's going towards the grim, dark type fantasy games.
Yeah, I mean, why
they
would
want
somebody...
want in on that action.
Yeah, why would somebody go buy a third-party gothic horror setting like Grim Hollow when they can just buy Van Richten's Guide and Curse of Strahd?
Yeah, but some people are just so done with Barovia and Strahd and the domains of dread.
Yeah, but there's obviously a lot of people that are happy with domains of dread. Thus why Grimhollow, which is effectively a domain of dread, why people are so interested in it. Personally, the main thing I look at, I mean, obviously Grimhollow is pretty in-depth for what it is. It's a catch-all horror setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Van Richten's Guide gives you rules and help in building your own domain of dread. Oh, you don't like Barovia? Fine. You don't have to play in Barovia. Make your own domain of dread. You want to have a fantasy game like, you know, of D&D in a zombie apocalypse? Well, you can do that with Van Richten's Guide. You want to have one that's based mostly around werewolves instead of undead? You can do that. You want to try and emulate a game like Blades in the Dark using Dungeons and Dragons, where you're trapped in a city that's a little steampunk-like, very gothic, dark, brooding, and full of ghosts. You can do that with Van Richten's Guide. Not that you'd want to copy Blades in the Dark, because it is way better than D&D. Just saying.
Well, you keep saying that there are, all these games are better than D&D. Probably true. But that kind of a jump in market share says that they're doing something right.
No, they clearly are. And I'm not trying to denigrate Wizards of the Coast or Dungeons & Dragons in any way. Where I'm saying is that people are dumb and they'll go, I want to play me a role-playing game. I'm going to get into role-playing. And they go and buy D&D by default because that's the first thing people think of, because it's been the biggest, with the exception of for a few years when Pathfinder stepped over 4th edition. Other than that, Dungeons & Dragons has been pretty much the biggest name in role-playing for nearly 50 years. They're the McDonald's of role-playing games.
I don't think that's a nice metaphor to use, but...
Well, some people really enjoy McDonald's.
Yeah,
they honestly, unironically enjoy McDonald's. And yes, it may be crap. And to a lot of people, they think it's crap. And you compare it to other restaurant chains and individual restaurants themselves, which a lot of the small indie games would be. You compare McDonald's to them, and yes, they are crap. It's just nobody's ever heard of Blades in the Dark Diner. Or the few people that have gone, oh, wow, let's check that out. Holy shit, I'm playing this, period. That's why Blades in the Dark is in the top 20 for sales every month. That's how good it is. And it's only one of a bunch of other really good games. So anyway, that's kind of off topic. Point is, yeah, they grew, and that just also tells me that role-playing in general grew. It's the market has grown as well. So, yeah. Do you think Van Richten's Guide will be a hit or not?
Oh, it'll more than likely be a hit. It'll probably be just as big as the Curse of Strahd book.
Okay. Compared to other books, though, other campaign books, how do you think it'll do?
Probably better, because it's a known quantity. Whereas Eberron, I'm sure it has its fans. Don't care. What was the other one? Ravnica. Don't care.
It's, yeah.
I mean, they've got some good settings out there. I keep hearing people scream about, where the hell is Dark Sun? Where the hell is Spelljammer? Dragonlance? Where's, you know, all these well-known, well-established settings? You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm fairly certain that Dragonlance will be... There will be a Dragonlance book out by the end of the year. July, September, or November. One of those three slots will have a Dragonlance book in it.
Maybe.
And that's almost assured. They're going to want to support that novel. Because they want the novel to be successful. They make money off of it. And since, you know, there's a huge amount of fans for Dragonlance, period, with a new novel, a lot of them are going to want to come back to the game. They're going to want a source book for 5th edition, yada, yada. So, yeah. Maybe 2021 is going to be kind of a, hey, let's get some of our older IPs out there. You know, now they've got it. They had Curse of Strahd. Okay, great. They had basically a adventure path. Woo. But Van Richten's Guide gives you everything for Ravenloft. It gives you all kinds of new stuff to support your gothic horror. A Dragonlance book, that's a good step in the right direction. I guess we have Sword Coast Adventures out already. That's kind of a Forgotten Realms sort of thing, right?
It is. Well, so is Rime of the Frostmaiden.
And so is...
Yawning Portal.
Yeah, Yawning Portal. I was going to say that one.
And Dragon Heist, Dungeon of the Mad Mage.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of those, but not a campaign book like Ravnica or Ravenloft or...
Well, they should be doing one that's based entirely, you know, it should just be Waterdeep.
Yeah. Or the Underdark.
Well, no, they definitely should be doing the Underdark as a separate book, but they should be doing one of just Waterdeep.
Yeah. Oh, and Castle Keep Mysteries is technically a...
It is a Forgotten Realms book.
But technically it can be set in any setting. It'll work anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Because it's one building, effectively, with some other areas popped up. It can be modified slightly. Then again, you can do that with any book.
Video game news.
So, Bealus, turns out we have a bit of a correction for last week's show.
Oh, you mean about Diablo Immortal?
Yeah. My bad.
I saw that too.
I didn't do my research properly, and where I thought that they didn't talk about Diablo Immortal. That's just apparently in the first day. There was no real word I could find about it. But eventually they did talk at length about Diablo Immortal. Gotta say, I'm still not a fan.
I don't intend to buy it.
If anything, they've managed to piss me off more.
How's that?
Well, apparently they gave out a rather extensive amount of information about Diablo Immortal. And, you know, that's great. They're pulling in a lot of nifty ideas from, like, World of Warcraft's Cavern of Times and Time Walking and all this. Well, Massively OP did a nice little write-up hitting all the main bullet points that they discussed about it, as well as Diablo 2 Resurrected, Diablo 3, Diablo 4, all that.
Yeah.
But in their discussion about Diablo Immortal, which they're still super excited about, they don't exactly envision it as a classic Diablo-style looter.
Well, of course not.
It's mobile, so you'd think, okay, well, it's Diablo, but mobile.
If it was if it was a single player looter, it's a lot harder to make money with microtransactions. So it has to be, you know, multiplayer. It has to be big. It has to, you know, there has to be competition for gear. There has to be competition for, you know, looks, for, you know, any kind of aesthetics or whatever. You have to be, you know, stand out more than everybody else.
Sure.
To make that microtransaction money.
Right. But previously they've said that Diablo Immortal will be leaning a little more into the RPG elements, which Diablo 3 already does. But now they're calling it a mobile MMO. There have been fans of Diablo, myself included, who have been calling for a quote-unquote World of Diablo, a Diablo MMORPG.
Right.
Since they first announced Wrath of the Lich King, I was on the forums the early morning hours that they made the announcement for Wrath of the Lich King. And the artwork they had for the countdown for when they would announce it made it was very evocative of demons and whatnot. And so it was like, oh, is this going to be it? Are they going to announce World of Diablo? And I was totally convinced. And there was a bunch of us that were super hyped for this. And sure, it wasn't what we wanted. Turned out to be one of the best expansions for WoW ever, though. Wrath of the Lich King. I liked it. Not a bad thing. I was a fan. But when they finally get around to making a Diablo MMO, it's in a shitty mobile game.
No.
Which will be all of microtransactions. In fact, you probably won't be able to play well unless you're spending money on microtransactions.
Well, that's the whole point of mobile games, is to squeeze the customer for as much money as you can get, right?
Right. But if this is what they think, they can be, oh, you know, they're going to say, well, you guys asked for this, right? This is what you asked for. You wanted a Diablo MMO. So here you go, a Diablo MMO. Why aren't you playing the Diablo MMO you asked for?
Well,
this is even more insulting.
That doesn't mean that I'm going to buy into it. I'm just not impressed. I haven't seen one damn thing that makes me think this is going to be worth playing.
No. And they've been blowing smoke up our ass and just telling us all the great stuff. Here, look. Let's just knock through really quickly the bullet points on this. Blizzard can't wait for more people to get their hands on the tactical alpha. Woo. Wait, were we told the company that developed this for them, that actually did the nuts and bolts game?
It was done years ago, yes.
It's been done for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And tactical alpha? Okay, fine. To remind you, Immortal takes place between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. Who cares? Within the legendary capital city of Westmarch, players will run into other adventurers, join guilds, carouse in the local taverns, or scour the bounty board for lucrative missions in search of glory, experience, and treasure. Yeah, it's an MMO. We get it. Diablo Immortal will open with 6 large open-world zones, each with a unique zone trial. So they're trying to be Guild Wars 2, then.
Well, and one of those zones is a PvP zone.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all PvP zone.
Because that went so well in World of Warcraft. People loved those so much.
Well, some people did.
Yeah, but the vast majority of people avoided those zones like the plague.
Well, because they were toxic.
Yeah. And what was always more fun was you would be flying over and you'd lose, you know, oh, you just happen to be flying along and forget what way you were going. And you'd fly over that zone and, oh, look, I'm flagged. Oh, look, I've been shot down. Oh, look, I'm dead. Thanks.
No, the one I loved was the one where they had the flight path was just a hair too close to the PvP zone. So taking a flight path, you ended up getting flagged. And when you had land, there were people waiting to kill you because they knew people coming that direction would get flagged.
Yeah. See, dungeons, Elder Rifts, and Challenge Rifts can be entered solo or with groups. Okay. That's not bad. Diablo Immortal will be the first Diablo game to use an item ranking system that can salvage good gear to make their own items even better.
Great. So, gear treadmill. Microtransaction money. Boom.
Yeah. The title fuck also... You. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, fuck you, Blizzard.
Well, let's get that out there. The title also added Paragon trees for more specialization and growth past the level cap, i.e. grind.
Yeah.
Alpha players killed 70 million monsters in 2 weeks over the holidays. It's a Diablo game. You're supposed to kill creatures by the dozens all the time. Unimpressed. The team wants to bring something new to the franchise while still retaining that classic feel. You want some things that are new, some things that are improved, and some things that feel familiar. So you're making a new Diablo game. That's what they're saying, right? Otherwise, they would just do exactly what they've done before. So, okay. Good job saying nothing at all.
I love the next line, though.
Go ahead and read it. Okay. There's a concerted effort to make the cadence of amazing gear drops too frequent, but also for every play session to feel worthwhile. The slower pace of drops helps with the quote-unquote discovery process.
Exactly.
Would you please explain what Blizzard's trying to say there?
Well, of course, they want you to buy better gear or buy enhancements that allow you to find better gear faster.
Uh-huh.
That's why the drop rate is lower.
Yes.
It's not for discovery process. It's for making money.
Yeah. People will bitch and complain.
You're putting a ribbon on a pig. It's still a pig.
Right. They know that players are going to bitch and say, why aren't there drops? I'm not getting anything good. And they'll say, well, it's all part of the discovery process. You just got to get out there and look more. And hey, don't forget that crappy gear you're getting. You can break it down so that when you get something good, you'll be able to use these raw materials to upgrade them. And, you know, that'll be some crafting stuff you'll need to do. So you probably have to buy some microtransactions to improve your crafting. But yeah, it's all part of the process.
Take your process and shove it.
But then, to add to that, there's the next bullet point. The team is focusing on giving players a variety of things to do and to, quote, double down on progression, unquote. The latter includes gems, gear rank ups, paragons, and so on.
Yeah, grind.
Yes.
The longer you're in the game, the more you're likely to spend money. The more you have to grind, the more you want to buy something to help alleviate the grind.
Exactly.
Microtransaction bullshittery.
Then, every zone in the game has its own event. Did they mention that before? Such as one where a ghostly carriage rumbles through and players can try to attack it for its loot. Oh, so it's a zone event. Another zone has a cemetery where players will fight shadow versions of themselves. Okay. And in the library, players can unlock secret random levels by picking up certain tomes. Uh-huh. Right. So basically, they just keep saying the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
The free-for-all PvP event in Biofen is absolutely nuts, and players have loved it. Right. Fuck you, Blizzard. Moving on. Paragon trees offer a whole lot of different choices for player builds, and players can switch between different trees for various activities.
Yeah.
What you want to bet? That if you want to change your build,
it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you. Yeah. Or you want to have different trees, you have different saves for your trees, so you can just quickly switch between them. You'll have to buy that. You'll have one build, and if you want to buy extra saves for it, extra save trees, you'll have to buy them.
Well, and what they're going to do is they're going to make it so that in the meta game, this progression is going to be the ultimate one. So people are going to heavily, you know, work towards getting that build. And then the next season, you're going to have to abandon that and go this way for this build. And they're going to keep changing which build is the best one so that you're going to have to keep swapping, or you're going to have to erase this character and start all over again.
Yeah. Or you can have two separate builds. One of them you'll need for doing the raids, and one of them for PvP, because the metas will be different.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it will cost you money.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. There's a dungeon that throws players back in time to experience historical events, which was influenced by Caverns of Time and Time Walking. I think we mentioned that before.
Mm-hmm.
Deckard Cain is in this, so now you know it's a Diablo. But there are brand new characters you'll be meeting, too.
Well, if it's an MMO, you kind of have to. Otherwise, it'd be an awfully boring MMO.
Right. To become a mobile MMO, the team has worked to make Westmarch the main player hub, where everyone will congregate between adventures. It feels almost like a living city. So, wait, I'm starting to get a migraine. Are they telling me they basically just made a hub city? One hub city.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, hey, it's an MMO. It's like a living city. Okay.
It's more like the original Guild Wars, where they had their little hub. Except at least with Guild Wars, you had multiple hubs to go to between all the different zones that you could play in. This is a single hub city with ports to all the different zones you could go to, but you still have to go to that main hub.
Yeah. Oh.
Yay!
I think I'm losing intelligence.
For how many years?
I feel like I'm losing intelligence the more I read this. The next line drives me absolutely nuts, though. A town hub was what Blizzard originally thought of doing for Diablo 3. How does this have anything to do with Diablo Immortal?
Oh, they're just making a point.
And I seem to recall in Diablo 3, they have town hubs. And how are they not? Maybe it's because there's going to be lots of people there.
I haven't played Diablo 3 multiplayer, so maybe they are town hubs. I don't know.
Moving on. Blizzard is trying to find reasons for players to be social and enjoy being with each other. To wit, the studio provides rewards for incentivize grouping. Oh, look, forced grouping. That'll be fun. When they say they incentivize grouping, they're de-incentivizing solo play.
Uh-huh.
So, you won't be able to get shit for drops, but if you want to have a slightly better chance of drops, you'll be in groups. Or, you can only get shitty drops if you're playing solo, but if you group, you can get slightly less shitty drops. Controller support is highly requested, and Blizzard is investigating that possibility.
Oh, now stop right there. It's a mobile game.
Yes.
You play on your phone.
Not
and
always.
And you're going to hook a controller up to your phone?
No. A lot of people do. A lot of people play their mobile games with a controller. And also remember, this game is supposed to be coming to the Switch. It's not just for tablets and phones. So if it's coming to the Switch, that uses a controller. So it will have to have controller support, which is why that whole line makes me want to shoot somebody. It can't come to the Switch without controller support. So of course it has to have controller support. I'm going to have a freaking stroke. I knew reading this was a bad idea.
Yeah, you did it anyways.
Layers will feature visual continuity with their respective zones.
Yeah, think? That's like day one game making. Yeah, let's go to a desert and have an ice castle.
Yeah.
Come on, really?
At this point is when I knew that basically they were just saying shit, just to say it. You know,
they were saying just, to make it sound like they had more than they actually do.
Right. They just go, hey, well, you know, at least the layers in our desert zone or our forest zone or whatever is going to be thematically correct with what it would be, which technically, if you're playing in some games, you may go into an area where it's no, every Diablo game has basically been thematically correct to the area it's in. So what are they fucking talking about? Oh, nothing. They're just pulling shit out of their ass at this point.
They're just saying shit to say shit to pad it, to make it look more impressive than it actually is.
Sure. Luckily, we're down towards the end. And here's the important part. I'm going to skip to the last statement and leave the second to last for last, because I have to have a good laugh at the end. But the very last thing they said is, we have an epic endgame planned for Diablo Immortal.
Sure you do.
Oh God, I hope so.
Well, no, it's just Diablo 3. They didn't have a whole lot planned for it.
But they did end up with an endgame, and people have played it for years.
Eventually, yeah. But, so you're just saying that, yeah, we learned our lesson from Diablo 3, so we're going to do something about it.
Well,
is that
really
why it's taking 2 years?
They should have learned their lesson from any game out there, because they know how players burn through content. And if they don't have an end game in place, they'll burn through the content and go, okay, I'm done with the game after a week and walk away.
Uh-huh.
So, duh, of course you're going to have an epic end game. You're going to have an end game, and regardless of what end game it is, whether it's stick your thumb up your ass and hop up and down or not, you're going to call it epic one way or the other.
Uh-huh. And I still foresee players burning through everything and then going, we're done, and walking.
Sure. But it's a mobile game. All they're going to try and do is pull as much money out of you as they can on the way until you walk away. And then they get the next sucker in. They don't care about keeping players. They care about pulling as much money out of your pocket on your way to when you finally say, enough, I'm done. That could be a week.
That
could be a year. They just hope to get you in and get whatever money out of your pocket as they can. And they'll call that end game. But finally, the point that really struck me that needed to be discussed. The team for Diablo Immortal felt bad about their announcement at BlizzCon 2019. But they're happy now that it's all looking better.
Uh-huh. Looking better.
I'm sorry.
You're not getting laughed at by everybody.
The only reason it's looking better now is that between BlizzCon 2019, the famous, "What, don't you guys have phones?" statement, and now, in just, you know, a little over a year, in amongst there, during, I believe it may have been like Gamescom 2019, they're online, they announced Diablo 4. Somewhere along the line, they said, "Hey, we're going to do Diablo 4, guys," which was, and they talked more about Diablo 4, and we all know it's not coming for years, but still, Diablo 4 is coming, and that was enough for people to go, "All right, cool, go ahead and make your Diablo Immortal for China, whatever, we'll wait for Diablo 4. And when they try to release Diablo Immortal in this market, some people are going to try it, sure. And they'll try and say, "Oh, it's a massive hit." But in reality, most Diablo fans are going to say, "Yeah, no, we'll wait for Diablo 4. Y'all can fuck off with that mobile bullshit." Except for those of us who are stuck with having to play on the Switch. And if Diablo Immortal is all we're going to get, I think Diablo 4 is supposed to come for the Switch.
It'd be crazy not to.
I know Diablo 2 is. And if that's all I can get is Diablo 2 Resurrected on the Switch,
that'd be worth it.
I'll take it. I'll take it, because I love me some Diablo 2. And Diablo 4 better as fuck be coming for the Switch. They did it for Diablo 3. But if they try and push Diablo Immortal off and say that's all I'm getting, thanks, no. Not interested.
Nope.
I don't care if that's the only Diablo MMO we get. I would rather have nothing than have that. So anyway, sorry, I know we went way over time and all that with this segment. But I felt it was important for us to correct the record, clear the air. And, you know, we were wrong. We said that they didn't say anything about Diablo Immortal, and in fact, they said quite a lot. Well,
not as much as they want you to think they said.
They uttered a bunch of words over and over again that made it sound like the game has a lot more going for it than it really does. They managed to say the same things over and over again in different ways. Well, basically, it works down to you have a hub city, you've got some zones, one of them has a PvP event in it, and at least one of the dungeons will give you the ability to do time walking effectively. It's going to be a lot like World of Warcraft, only really dumbed down and kind of Diablo-esque, except for, hey, you're going to have to fight really, really, really hard for drops unless you give them money. Lots and lots of money.
Well, you got to give them credit, though. They did one thing. They openly admitted that they're putting they're slowing down, they're purposely bottlenecking the drops so that you don't get too many, because they don't want it to, you know, feel like you're not getting anywhere. I'm sorry, that's how most Diablo games are. You go through and you blow through a ton of stuff, and most of the gear is just sold or broken down.
Right.
You don't even pay much attention to it. If it doesn't have a special color to it, fuck it. Destroy it.
But I seem to recall one of the controversies they had around Diablo 3 was at one point they made it very hard to get good drops.
Uh-huh.
All you were getting was trash.
Uh-huh.
And you had to grind and grind and grind and grind, and very, very, very rarely you could get good drops, and that was, they were focusing towards people towards the real money auction house, which pissed people off to no end, because it then incentivized people to go and grind. When they would get a really good drop, they'd throw it on there for money, which of course Blizzard got a cut of that. Yeah, sure, the person who did the grinding got money out of it, but so did Blizzard. And it was basically a way for them to make money off of itemization and drops. You couldn't get them from just playing the game normally. You didn't have a real chance of getting them by just playing the game normally. You had to either grind your brains out or spend money on the auction house. And it damn near killed Diablo 3.
Oh, no, I remember when Diablo 3 first was about to launch. I had a customer, and this was his whole retirement scheme. And he said this is how he intends to retire. It was like the day, or it was like 1 or 2 days before it was going to drop. He had already quit his job and was waiting for the game to drop so that he could start playing. And he was going to make his fortune selling stuff on the real money auction house. He had convinced his wife it was going to work.
Wow.
Yeah. Their house was for sale 3 months later.
That's sad. I mean, damn.
Never seen the guy again. I mean, their house went up for sale and they're gone.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened to him, but God, that's as bad as playing the lottery to make your retirement. Putting everything you got, buying lottery tickets, sell everything to buy lottery tickets because you're going to win big. Yeah.
But here, in this case, there's no real money auction house.
Nope.
But you can guarantee there's going to be some sort of thing that helps you alleviate that grind, that gives you improved odds of drops. Just buy something on that microtransaction store. Get yourself a little buff. Don't forget to group up, because that'll give you an improved chance too. And hey, then you'll be able to get something. And it's that way, not even players get a chance of getting money out of it off of a real money auction house. Nope. All that money comes to Blizzard. Yeah.
Like we said at the beginning, fuck you, Blizzard.
Yeah. If I could title the show that, I would. But no, we do have to have some semblance of decorum.
Really?
It'd be a first, but...
Wrapping things up.
Okay, so Bealus, have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up this show?
Not really. I could go on bitching about Blizzard for days, so I'm just going to be quiet.
Yeah, obviously we could, but EA also had to jump in and do something stupid too.
And what was that?
Well... You remember Anthem, right?
Oh, yeah, that shit show.
Yeah, BioWare, which is owned by EA, was doing their own version of Destiny. You know, their own looter-style first-person or third-person shooter, whatever, right?
Yeah, Nifty. The one that was just done completely back-asswards and wrong.
Yeah, well, it came out with almost no content. They rushed it out. And it had its own usual launch bugs and problems. But then people realized there's no meat on the bone. You don't have anything to do. So it's worse than Star Wars The Old Republic, which came out with no endgame. This had no game. There was just a few things to do, and that's it. And they haven't really done much with it since. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually they came out and announced this big, huge project they were going to do. They were going to revamp the whole game. It was quietly being called Anthem Next, effectively. Right. That wasn't an official title, just what I've heard it called. and it was going to revamp the whole thing and add a bunch of new content. And some people called it Anthem 2, but it was implied, it wasn't outright said, but it was implied that this was going to just be revamping the original game so people who bought the original wouldn't have to go out and buy this new game. It would just be basically, here, we've finally given you a finished game. Please, other people, come and buy this awesome new game because it actually is good now. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a bit of a hard sell, but sure, if EA and BioWare were willing to put in the work, sure.
You mean like No Man's Sky did? Or Hello Games did?
Yeah.
No Man's Sky?
Absolutely. But then nobody heard anything. And over time, this developer would leave BioWare, and then that BioWare developer left, and another one left, and strange, they all seem to have been on that same project, and oh look, then the guy who was in charge of the project left BioWare, and
sensing a pattern here.
Anyway, so EA and BioWare announced that, sadly, they've decided that they're going to have to shut down that development project. So they're not going to do the revamp at all. But it gets worse.
Mm-hmm. Of course
they're going to continue Anthem. Anthem will remain as the live service entertainment project that it currently is, which is to say, it will get no further updates.
There's a term for that, isn't it?
Maintenance mode.
Yeah.
Sure, those of you who went and bought Anthem and got virtually nothing for it, your reward is exactly what you bought. They basically, after all these years, have said, yeah, you know, we told you it was going to, we had these roadmaps, and then we scrapped the roadmaps because we were doing the big revamp, and then we scrapped the revamp because everybody left, and well, yeah, nah, you were right. The game sucks, and you never should have bought it.
Well, what I remember was being funny is they did a roadmap of the roadmap.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So anyway, the roadmap of the roadmap isn't even good because it's all gone. Apparently, they've moved people to working on, is it Dragon's Age or whatever?
Don't care.
But yeah, they've got a fantasy game they're working on.
It's probably the next Dragon's Age.
Yeah.
That's about all they have left that they haven't completely screwed up.
Well, yeah, now that they don't have the exclusive Star Wars license, I don't see them working a whole lot more on Star Wars The Old Republic. They'll, you know, add to it little bits here and there, but I don't see it getting a huge amount of development.
Well, it's
the only thing they have
been good since ever.
Yeah, but the only thing they have in-house is Dragon's Age. Oh, I'm sorry. They have Mass Effect. And I hear there's going to be a new Mass Effect now. So,
yeah. Remember Andromeda?
Yeah. I was going to say, how is it that BioWare used to be this company that it was like Blizzard? Everything it touched turned to gold.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been able to pull that off since Mass Effect 2?
EA took over?
Was Mass Effect 2 before EA?
I don't know.
I can't remember, but
it doesn't matter.
They fucked up the ending of Mass Effect 3. They had to go back and revamp that so that people didn't hate them because the ending was so fucked up. Star Wars The Old Republic came out and had to go free to play within a year because they fucked that up. They can't make a proper MMO. They put out a looter shooter and fucked that up. They put out Mass Effect Andromeda and really fucked that up. So And a large part of that wasn't even BioWare's problem, because EA outsourced huge amounts of it to other companies. So they had multiple different teams working on the same project. No wonder it came out like shit.
So I kept hearing all kinds of continuity issues, you know. Well, that's what you get.
Get the feeling EA is just trying to kill BioWare. At some point, BioWare kicked their kitten or something, and they've decided they're just going to slowly, passively, aggressively destroy BioWare by ruining all their projects.
I don't know about that. More than likely, they don't understand what they've got. And so they're cutting the golden goose open to get the golden eggs out.
Yeah.
Once you get the gold egg out of the goose, it's over.
Yeah, you don't get any more golden eggs.
Exactly.
So, at this point, I honestly was like, oh, look, they went back on another promise. Fuck EA. Fuck BioWare. And, yeah, they're as bad as Blizzard.
Well, but, with EA, it's kind of a given.
Well, yeah, but I mean, EA to BioWare is as Activision is to Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it. Activision ruined Blizzard, and EA ruined BioWare. So, what is it? I think that basically it says that big AAA game companies all need to just be torn apart and destroyed. They're ruined and they suck.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all I've got for this week.
All I got.
Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm pissed off.
Yes, you are, BLS. Generic catchphrase ending.
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Beerless and Scummers. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scummy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.